Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, this is not good.
We thought this was the last stronghold. What does this mean?
Got any magic in you, Bahamut? How you doing here, buddy?
In an instant, the spiraling energy, as if drawn from the center of the group, pulls quickly in, and the group is gone.
I thought you might not come back, but you're back, and Flint's still out.
And she's shaking you. They don't let them out, from the sounds of it, correct?
No.
I mean, that was what we were led to believe.
Well, they take them out, but only to exterminate or destroy them.
We have another party out trying to recover a relic of supposed teleportation. If we have a god who can harness that power, there's no stopping us from being able to move through not only space, but maybe time. If it was in fact Varanox and Lipsinki that you saw, they will be on the lookout for anything out of the ordinary.
Well, they did see us disappear in a giant flash of magic, so.
And appear in one.
Well, then it might not be long before they are able to find us. Debris is thrown, and people scream as they are struck by heavy stone. It comes back to you in a flash of a memory, back to a greenery-filled cave, with Flint and Nulara at your side, as an adult green dragon emerges from the watery cave and roars before you. Staring through at you is an undead Kuth.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Tom Laird.
He, him, and I'm playing Telgear Heavyfoot, a Mountain Dwarf Paladin, who also goes by he, him.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her. I'm playing Yenbul Nuri, a Kalishtar Cleric, also she, her.
And Amy Moore.
Yeah, she, her, and I play Thea Amastasia, a High Elf Druid, also she, her.
Well, it's lovely to have you all here with me, even though I sprung a dragon on you.
Is it, Russ?
Is it? Is it?
I was like, hey.
Do you actually hate us?
No, why would I
Maybe.
Hate you? I love you all.
That's why I ask myself all the time, why would Russ hate us?
What
We've been friends for so long.
Why is he doing this to us?
Yeah, no.
Why is there an undead dragon trying to kill us
well,
all?
Well, it's the darkest timeline. If there wasn't an undead dragon trying to kill you, what are we even doing here?
Is everything okay in our marriage? Are you projecting something? Because we can talk about it. You don't need to put it in the game.
This episode is just working through Russ's deep-seated issues with each and every one of you for no, there's no
okay.
I can't.
I mean, honestly, perfect, yeah. I might prefer that yeah. to dying by dragon
again.
That's true. This is not Carla's first rodeo
Look,
with a dragon.
I figure, you know, if you can separate yourself from the character, I'll just for a minute mm-hmm. put yourself in. Yembul hasn't even seen a dragon.
It's true.
Maybe. I don't know Yembul's past.
I don't know.
I mean, pretty worldly
travel.
Like,
it's true.
Yeah,
she's traveled.
Yeah, she probably has seen one, but
yeah, I mean, you see Donnie.
I don't know
that's
that she's fought one.
A dragon.
Basically.
Yeah, he's going to get some turns.
Okay, yeah. Nope, I'm going to go save the kids. All right.
Do you remember in the preamble to the last episode where Russ was like, hey, guys, we might do this differently if we, like, get into combat? The whole time, he's sitting there with a fucking undead dragon in his back pocket. So.
Just like, can't wait to popcorn this thing.
When do I drop it? When do I? Now. I knew it was going to come at the end. That's,
of course. That's the hook.
Yeah, that's the hook.
For the next episode.
Keeps you, it kept you coming back for more over here. And where we keep you coming back for more is in our other show over on patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where we play just fun goofs and guffaws. Tom tries to make it serious sometimes, but then we're like, yeah, sometimes. But what about the downtown office and bees?
I mean, usually I just roll with whatever shenanigans you guys want to get
up
to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we have a lot of
it's
fun.
It's mostly derailment, not a lot of railroading.
I feel like Tom's just like that best babysitter. You know the one.
Yes.
The one that lets you do whatever is like really awesome, very forgiving, and just really willing to go with it.
Yeah, and that's why you keep being like, oh, bring that one back. Bring that babysitter back. Bring Tom back.
I want to see Tom.
No, it's not Tom's time yet. We have to drop an undead dragon on you.
Yeah, who's that?
Batman.
What?
You have to drop an undead dragon on you.
Look, don't look at the face.
Batman, you have to drop an undead dragon on you.
Batman have a little bit of a
Russ,
stroke?
You're doing Batman wrong. It's just the top half of the face.
Right. All right. I'm Batman.
Oh, God.
Where I was going with that is you also get an episode episode dedicated to you when you're a patron.
You get an episode dedicated to you?
Yep. All right, Mocha Mocamo.
Mocha Mocamo?
Mocha Mocamo.
Wow.
That's right. This is your episode, Mocha.
I'm loving it.
Thank you, Mocha.
Very fun
Thank
name.
You.
Let's hope it's not the one where we die.
Nah.
That's right. You don't want that one dedicated
Look,
to you.
This is episode 98. I can't kill you on 98. I got to kill you on 100.
Really?
Well, let's make a note of that, guys. We'll forget.
I make a lot of notes that I never once look at again.
I never make any notes because I caught on that I'll never look at them again.
Yeah. Well, that's how we're here. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Fuck it, let's play.
You said that, like, by me not taking notes, now we're fighting an undead
now
dragon.
Now we're in the darkest timeline. Yeah.
I mean,
we you know just it's Leosin's bad filing skills that got us here. Don't try to put this off on me.
That was a downtime thing. This is in episode. It counts more. Okay. Boom. Crash.
The sound of my heart. The beat goes on and on.
Boom, crash.
Is Fifi Dobson Canadian?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. There's our
kid. Nailed it. We did it.
Well, Canadian 30% music
although,
for you.
Although.
Although.
I thought that was a different artist that sang that song.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
It's Charlie XCX.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh. Boom.
And I think that person is British?
I believe so.
Well, we said boom crash. Yeah.
So I always thought it was boom crash. I've been singing it wrong this whole time.
Definite boom clap. Yeah.
It's a definite boom clap.
Yeah. So
it's a definite boom clap.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Fuck it. Let's play.
And there's your episode recap.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, there was a lot of heartfelt stuff, too, but mostly there's a dragon staring down. Leosin is standing beside you. We have to get everybody to the vessel now. Can you hold them long enough that we can get moving?
Yeah, we gotta... Do we leave a note or something for the crew coming back? Do they know where to go?
Oh, shit. Yes, we'll leave a message. It will trigger when they come back, and it will tell them where we went. And hopefully they have what we need... and can meet us there.
Okay, get out of here. We got this.
He follows behind a group who are madly trying to move Flint and Grancis and Bahamut from the next room and get them down the hallway.
Thea's pushing past, you know, doing that, wading through a crowd, going in the opposite direction as you to get to the front by Tolgir.
And I'm hoping there's more than one exit from these tunnels. I mean, it is the sewers, so you would think so.
Everybody appears to be running in the very opposite direction. So more where you are or were. We didn't specify exactly where you were. I kind of alluded to the fact that you might have come up front. But you could still be back with the kids if you want to be. But yeah, there is an exit further to the back that has been... unobstructed as of this moment anyways.
Yeah, I think that Yenbo will maybe spend a moment kind of like making sure
you know, putting on tiny backpacks and just making, getting everybody out.
Tying some shoes.
Cutting the crusts off sandwiches extra fast.
Exactly. And then she will go towards the danger, which she doesn't even know what it is yet.
Like, it's the what I picture is like the panicked, like single shot, like moving through this extended zone, like from the dragon where Tulgir and Thea are pushing towards, and Leosin running away, following him, moving down, seeing all of these people like picking up stretchers with their wounded and carrying them to the back, and everybody else kind of swarming and funneling down in as we see Yenbul at the back, who we then follow back towards this dragon. Roll for initiative.
7.
18.
27.
Wowzer.
Well, good.
This is nat 20.
Okay, so in initiative, do you guys want Flamekins with you, or do you want her to go back to the vessel?
Well, she's
the captain of the vessel, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have her because she can do some cool shit, but...
Okay.
Realistically, she should probably be leading the escape party if she's the only one that can do it.
Okay. Boop, 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 boop. Change of rules. We're going to try what's called popcorn initiative. This is, we've got like cool music underneath this. All right, everybody's dancing, everybody's grooving. It's a great time. In popcorn initiative.
You've hit the start menu and you've gone to the help section. And now Russ is telling you all about this new initiative.
That's right. We found it because Michael Howie in one of the discords was like, hey, have you heard about this? I was like, no, but it sounds pretty cool. So we're going to try it. So we roll initiative as per usual, but the highest goes first. That's normal so far. Following me? Okay. Still the same.
Yep.
After that, that person gets to pick who goes next. It doesn't matter who rolled best next. So there can be some strategy involved. You can front load and try and get as much damage in as possible, but know that if the group of bad guys grows, that they're going to also get a big deluge of damage down at the bottom. So you can talk in character and try and find out who's got what, you know. Set people up for cool things. If you want to set up, like, you know, just a ramp that you can, you know, build a ramp that somebody can run off of and do something cool. You can set that up now. Look at this popcorn initiative thing. If we find a rule that we've messed up because of this, we'll cut back in with one of these cool help menu things. Okay, back to the episode.
Russ, it's just the undead dragon? There's nothing else with it?
All you see right now is a big Kuth head sticking into this. So that's all you see right now.
Okay.
But it's like, this massive dragon is like obstructing basically the entire view of what could be beyond it, which you know to be sewer from your recent memories.
Okay. And it seems like it's focused on us, like it's not looking to go after the people who are running away.
Yeah, it's a pretty like bottlenecked venue that you're in. So in order to get to anybody else, it would have to get past you. So it is staring you down.
All right. Well, that will affect what I'm going to do here with my turn.
All right.
Which is I'm going to run forward and attack the fucking dead dragon head.
All right.
With my battle axe, here we go. First one is a 22 to hit.
Okay, 22 hits.
Second one will be a 19 to hit.
19 also hits.
Oh, all right. I was not expecting the 19 to hit, to be perfectly honest with you. Ooh, that's a max damage. That's 17. Second one was not max damage, so that's a 9 to go with that 17. So 26 slashing damage.
26 slashing damage. Is that a magical or non-magical weapon, did we decide?
It is a +3 weapon, so it is magic.
All right. 26 magical slashing damage. Love it.
And I do believe the dragon would respond to that immediately and go next.
Okay. It's going to use its frightful presence. So each creature of the dragon's choice within 120 feet of the dragon must, so basically all of you and everybody beyond it, must succeed on a DC 16 wisdom saving throw or become frightened for 1 minute.
Hope everyone's got good whiz bonuses.
I fucking do. I have to shit the bed real hard to mess this up. Watch me. Yep, there it is. Yep.
No.
Yeah, I fucking rolled a 3. I got an 11 bonus on wisdom. An 11, y'all. I'm going to use a lucky point because,
I mean, if you don't use it now, when?
Yeah. I can't spend the rest of this turn being frightened from this fucking thing.
I'm going to go save the kids.
Okay, that's better. 28.
Okay. 28. Yembol.
26.
Okay. And Tulgir.
21.
All right. And that's everybody. So you're all unafraid, and you are immune to the dragon's frightful presence for the next 24 hours.
Excellent.
Dope.
But it's also going to make 3 attacks.
That sounds more like a dragon.
How I picture it is its claws are trapped, so it can't actually use its claws. So I'm going to use a bite until it can like break more stone and get in. So that's going to be a 27 to hit. 13 plus 6 is 19 plus 19 piercing damage.
Is that all of us?
No, just on Tulgir.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Plus 7 poison damage.
All right, I'm resistant to poison damage, so I will take...
That's a lie. I forgot it's undead. All of that is necrotic damage.
Okay.
24 necrotic damage. That's all the dragon can do right now.
Oh, also, Russ, I'm immune to being frightened.
You're and amused immune. By it, because he's so immune.
Amused.
You think you're pretty scary?
I laugh in the face of your frightening.
Not only did I not pee my pants, I laugh at you.
That's right. Okay, Thea is going to cast Fairy Fire on this bitch. Dex save.
13.
No. So any attack roll against the affected creature has advantage, and it can't be invisible. So Thea puts her hands out, and a purple glow emits from it and surrounds the dragon. Yenbul, get him! Get him!
I'm gonna.
Watch me.
Watch me. Yenbul is going to approach the dragon. I'm picturing it like its feet are in, but like...
Like kind of like pulling
like
apart the
wall.
Like
its head is over. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I need to touch the dragon to do this, but I'm going to cast Inflict Wounds at 9th level.
All right.
So let's see how
inflict
that works.
Inflict those wounds.
Is there any save on that one, or that's a...
No, it's an attack. It's just a melee attack. Plus 9 should be easy math, because it's almost like plus 10, so it's 24.
24 will hit.
Great. I hate you.
Wait, you can roll again and maybe get a nat 20.
Oh, yeah, you get advantage because of fairy fire.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you might as well.
Maybe you'll get to double up that awesome.
I know, that was worse.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
But thank you. That was a 16. That is going to be 11d10.
Nice. At 9th level, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Burn those spell slots, baby.
If you're not going to burn them fighting a dragon, when are you going to burn them?
Yeah, undead dragon, let's do it.
85.
Yeah, when 85. I just saw that pop up on my screen, I was like, oh my God.
Okay. So what does 85 inflicting wounds damage look like?
On a dragon that's already falling apart.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I touch it as... distantly as I can and sort of close my eyes and concentrate, and you do see just more deterioration and just like bits are coming off because this thing is already not doing great. So those aforementioned black rotten guts maybe are probably starting to fall out. Skin is falling off, like he's just getting more skeletal.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Like that's a huge hit. And now undead things, they don't feel pain, but causes this dragon to recoil and like pulls its neck and head back out and up street level. And you hear its wings flap and like smack the ground, and it lifts up into the air. And as you watch it go, you see, no, you hear coming in behind it first, this like droning, humming sound. And then this stench hits you as you see this huge, like as the same size as the dragon before you, like prying its way, a zombie made of more zombies.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. So it's like a rat king, but it's a zombie?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a zombie. In the book, it's called a zombie clot.
That's disgusting.
Gross.
That is horrible.
That's a bad word and a bad thing.
But it has entered combat. Yenbul. It, because it came in kind of at the end, it's not in the original initiative, so you could choose to go again first, or you can pick something or someone else.
But it has come in, like, it is right there. I feel like it would go next, like, they were like, ha-ha!
They, like,
I mean, I don't want that to happen, but they're going to go sometime, and if you've just landed, your dragon's flown off or, like, lifted up a little, it seems like a good time.
This thing just propels itself smoothly, like unnaturally smoothly down this sewer, and you see like bodies and parts writhing amongst this figure that's coming towards you. And as it gets within 10 feet of you, Yenbul, this deathly stench washes over you. Make a constitution, actually, and Tulgir would be that close too because you were in melee as well. Make a constitution saving throw.
Is this disease by chance?
It's poison.
All right, well, I'm resistant to that. I get advantage. And I need it. You say constitution?
Yeah.
24.
14.
So you don't take anything. You're not immune to this effect, which would be poison damage, but also something else. So, but you're not immune to it. But it could happen again. The arm, I guess you could say, that comes close to you recoils and outshoots this mound of rotted flesh towards you, Yenbul. Make a strength saving throw, DC 16, please, as this detached clump
13
lands on top of you, and you're going to take 3d10 bludgeoning damage.
Blah.
And become entombed in dead flesh.
Yeah.
Luckily, I rolled poorly, so that's 12 bludgeoning damage. But a creature entombed in dead flesh is restrained, has total cover against attacks and other effects outside the dead flesh, and takes 3d6 necrotic damage at the start of each of its turns. The creature can be freed from the dead flesh if the dead flesh is destroyed. It has an AC and hit points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's on top of you. Tulgir and Thea, you see this dead flesh fly off and like just engulf around Yenbul, who's now underneath it. It's going to choose Kuth to go next.
I thought he flew away.
Yeah, he's still in combat.
Oh,
you look and you see him. He lifted himself up in the air, and you feel like the propulsion of his wings as he soars past, and you hear him land further down on the street. And he's going to hit with his tail onto the ground. And he doesn't hit the ground. The ground just is...
The ground doesn't have like a base AC of 12.
Yeah, no. Funny. The tail.
Every time I fall on the ground, do I deal damage to the ground?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. That's why there's so many potholes in Edmonton. People just fall on the ground.
Okay.
You hear the tail hit the ground, and then with a second whack, it comes through, and debris falls down into the refuge
further down where everybody was trying to flee. They had made it past this point. I'm going to choose Yemble. You're going to go next.
Okay, so what can I do? I can't do anything?
You're going to take... Well, first you're going to take 3d6 necrotic damage.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to kill you, Carla.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, can Yemble delay and I can try to get her out of that tomb of flesh?
I haven't had a turn in forever.
This is, we're trying out this popcorn thing. So you're going to take 14 damage of the...
I take that as a no.
it's at the start of the turn, so regardless of what you choose to do, that happens. You're entombed. So you're restrained.
But if my spell is touch, it's touching me.
Attack rolls against the creature have advantage. The creature's attack rolls have disadvantage. So you can use attack rolls. They have disadvantage. But if you're using something without an attack, then you can... It's touching you. Yeah.
Okay. But it's touching me. Yep. Which means I'm touching it.
It's stuck not, in the room with me.
Exactly. okay, then I am going to cast Inflict Wounds again, because most of mine are saves. It's one of my only things that is an attack. So that is 21?
21 definitely hits, yep.
45 damage.
Yikes.
The flesh explodes off of you and out into the room. It's charred, hit. It's gone. You're good. You're free.
I just didn't want to be trapped in gross flesh. Let's get Thea in the mix.
Thea is going to turn toward this pile of zombie monster, put her hands out, and you see a silvery beam of pale light shining down from the sky. This place is burst open, yes? No, never mind. I'm just kidding. I just remembered where I am and what I'm doing. Fuck you. And the horse you rode in.
All right,
on.
Darkest timeline.
All right.
Right. The moon. Fuck everything. Oh, fuck the moon. Whatever. The moon is stupid.
The purple light of the not moon.
That's right.
And tendrils shoot off of it in this lovely
She's
night.
Still going to put her hands out, but at this point, a hail of rock-hard ice pounds to the ground in a 20-foot radius, and I make it specifically on this zombie clot, and they must make a dexterity saving throw.
14.
Not good enough. So the creature takes 4d8 bludgeoning damage and 4d6 cold damage.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, does your spell also make the ground difficult terrain?
Let's see. Hailstones turn the storm's area of effect into difficult terrain until the end of your next turn. I'm just going to roll them all at the same time. I'm keeping that one. That one's 8. 27. I guess that doesn't... Do you need the difference between the two? Is that going to make a really big difference?
No, it's fine.
All right. 27 and yes. The area is now difficult terrain, and I shout over at Tallgear and I say, careful, it's slippery.
If it's slippery for him, it might be time for us to go.
Dare we?
Don't go. Play with me.
But isn't our way blocked because...
Yeah, you've got a dragon on one side and a zombie monster on the other.
And the...
Oh, the way is blocked.
Yeah, I
now.
Think we're going to have well, to kill one of them.
The path is caved in from the dragon.
Yeah, so the tail crashed in, so debris fell in. You could get through, but there is a dragon right above that hole.
Who is currently still affected by fairy fire, and therefore yep. I would have advantage against him?
You betcha.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for the dragon.
All right.
Baby! Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
I was wondering when we were going to get around to this one.
Good. Right, because there are so many songs with the middle
it's
in
true.
It. Like, is next time going to be some Jimmy World? Or?
I hope so.
Maybe. I was thinking about it. I was like, God, we need to like do something more with this middle because I'm just running out of like spinning my tires on notes. So
and
now Maren Morris
rhymes?
And rhymes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we did. We met you in the middle.
We're here.
We're here.
We didn't talk about what we were going to talk about prior to.
No, let's do it.
No, that's just making me losing my mind just a little.
But what we have going on over on Patreon is a special new and upgrading patrons. When you sign up for an annual membership, you get 2 months free.
2 months free?
What?
That's 1 month more than I thought it was.
That's how... Exactly. Double the thought. that Amy
you guys,
had.
It's amazing.
Whatever Amy thought, double it.
Double that.
Generally speaking, it's probably a safe bet. When people support us on Patreon, not what do they get, but how do they help us?
Oh, man.
They fill our hearts with glee.
Sorry. I froze for a moment. I know how, whatever, you guys.
You're doing great.
Back to you, Carla.
Oh, I was just saying they fill our hearts with glee. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
They got me a new microphone.
They got Tom a new
equipment
microphone.
Equipment upgrades. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my old laptop ain't going to last forever.
And honestly, guys, a lot of boring shit that's really important, though. Like hosting and paying for
websites,
fees. All this
art
stuff.
Our art commissions. Commission,
that's less boring, but yes, absolutely.
That's fun, but
sound effects libraries that Russ can use to make our shit sound way better.
All of that.
Also, and wonderful connection and community over on our Discord.
Yeah.
I mean,
that also is nice.
That's for us and our community. Absolutely. So there's lots of amazing things that help not only Dungeons and Dragons, but our other shows, Facing Fate, DM to GM, Impart. And any other shows we decide to come up with between now and 2022. Who knows what'll happen?
Okay.
What? There'll be a business meeting in there somewhere.
Hold on a second. We've gotten out of hand.
This is how we find out about spinoffs every time.
I jest only a little bit. But in the meantime, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, and you'll be the first to find out before Tom, Amy, and Carla what new is coming.
Yeah. The tracks.
Even if they've been told, you'll probably be the first because they forget. We would love to have you over there. And if we, not if we, we would love to hit 100 patrons by the time we hit 100 episodes, but we don't have to hold it to us. That would just be really cool. But what happens when we do hit 100 patrons?
Oh my goodness. We get to release the Flamikins Grantsus episode.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, motherfuckers. We've been talking about this so goddamn long. I hope the hype holds up.
Well, you know, it's Tom, Carla, and I running that game, just running you into the ground.
Into the abyss ground. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, help us get there. We really want the world to experience that.
Yeah. How many things can they throw at Russ, but also make him talk to himself because the NPCs go silent? Well, I mean, that's most of
you put yourself in that fire. I'm just saying.
I did. Hey, it was one of those, hey, what ifs? And it happened. But now we want to release it to you because that would be super awesome. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
Love you. Bye.
Whoop, whoop.
What was that?
Baby!
It's our new audio signature.
I thought now there's the bloopers.
It's a Dumb Dragons production. Whoop, whoop. I mean, it's just...
You're like that kid from the middle. The one who whispers things.
How thematic.
That's right.
Thematic.
Bringing it all together. Okay, bye everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Do this. Is he within reach?
Yeah, for fun's sake, we'll say he's in reach.
I love fun.
Yeah.
All right, first attack is not great, so I'll advantage on that bad boy. Here we go, that's better. 28.
Yes, sir.
Second attack is pretty fucking good. Second attack was a 31.
Okay, yes.
Okay, here we go. Time to hit that tail a few times. 15 slashing damage and 17. So 32 all said and done. Got ahead of myself. I was going to say 27, and I was like, no, it was a 10. It was a 10 plus 7, not a 20 plus 7.
Okay, it's going to take a legendary action and attack you with its tail. It's a 26 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
15 bludgeoning.
Okay, well, after... I guess it's back to me again?
You would have been last in order. It took a legendary action, which is outside of that.
Yeah.
But you could choose you again, or you can call to somebody else.
All right, I'm going to choose me again, but then I'm going to tee up Thea to take two actions next time.
I'll do it.
I will just keep hacking away at this undead dragon.
Okay.
26, but I'll roll again in case I crit. Nope. Second one is a 21. So 26 and 21.
Both of those will hit.
And I'm going to hit it with Branding Smite at a fifth level.
Okay.
So next time I hit a creature with a weapon attack before this spell ends, the weapon gleams with astral radiance as I strike. Attack deals an extra, let's see here, it'll be 5d6 because I'm casting it at 5th level.
Okay.
And that's radiant damage to it, so. Here goes damage, and I'll get all the d6s I can to hopefully do it in one roll. And I'm assuming it will only hit on one of the attacks that I have?
I think so. I think it's a triggered on a single attack.
Okay. Normal damage was a 14 on the hit, and then radiant damage-wise, 23 radiant damage. Ooh. And then on the second hit, 16 damage.
Sweet. All right.
And I throw, like, the two-finger salute up for Thea to be like...
Two times.
Two times, please.
A couple things happen during these attacks. So every time you're... the damage you're dealing into this dragon is causing, like, huge chunks of flesh to fall off, like ooze pouring out beneath you, creating difficult terrain beneath your feet.
Perfect.
Another thing that you notice, and more specifically you, Tulgir, is every time a spell is cast, like, this wisp of white aura is drawn towards you and passed towards the spellcaster.
I mean, I know it's not a thing to, like, be using magic willy-nilly, but, like, we got a fucking problem.
I get it. I'm just telling you what you see.
I can't be scimitaring an undead dragon. Yeah, it's not going to cut it. With my one
attack.
Literally,
it's just not going to cut it.
Yes.
It's just not.
Yeah. We cut to the main group who's running away. We cut to Leosin, and we see... Bahamut, who has this white aura about him. We see Grancis and Flint, and we focus more on Flint, and we hear fast footsteps are racing through a very busy street. The sound of heavy armor accompanies them, and we hear Flint scream out,
"Drenkor, I know it's you. I will catch you."
"You know you can't catch me. You're still wearing all that hot armor. Okay, bye." And he takes a rip down a corner just as you are trying to catch up to him. You turn and you see him just as he connects with Leon and Glory Jim's arm and his clothesline, like, spun around. This small... Dwarves are normally stout, very hefty individuals. Tymus Drenkor is not that. He's more halfling built. Still a dwarf, long, shaggy beard that gets wrapped around, further around Leon and Glory Jam's arm and is, like, almost pulled back and then thrown to the ground. Says, "You're getting slow there, Firebeard."
Okay, first off, the captain of the city guard uniform here doesn't exactly make for easy breezy running times, but I gotta say, full credit, that was a hell of a clothesline.
It helps when he's looking behind him not to see the arm come out, right?
The best part is that, yeah, he was looking back at me, and he turned back just as that arm came out. So I bet you could see the whites of his eyes pretty good when he was surprised by that one.
You know what? Let's check the replay. And we hear, like, a quick rewind sound fire up. And it's just right before Drenkor hits Leonin's arm. You see his eyes just... slowly, because it's now in slow motion, we've gone bullet time, look, and the panic sets in as this armored behemoth of a forearm is shoved out in front of him. His jaw, like, crunches in, and the skin pushes back, and the beard, which had been, like, blowing in the wind, is now forward and wrapping around as he's spinning around this arm. And it's going back and forth and back and forth right before he slams into the ground. "So you want me to take him back to the precinct, or you?"
"We can go together."
"Sure.
Be a nice chance to have a little chat as we drag him off for yet another stay in the old hotel."
Leonin kind of leans down, and Tymus is groaning. "Oh, there's got to be brutality there somewhere, but we're not going to touch that, because that seems... a little too on the nose. handcuffs him and picks him up and brushes him off and says, "You're gonna be all right.
Yeah, we'll get you fixed up."
So how's Captain Life treating you as you begin to walk off towards the precinct?
You know, it's a lot more work than I thought it would be, but I gotta say, pretty rewarding in the long run.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you saw the city guard before I rose up to be captain. It was
a bit of shit.
It was in shambles. Yeah. To be perfectly honest with you.
Well, you're doing a good job. I appreciate the. Not that there was any preferential treatment. I appreciate the moving through the ranks on your old pal Glory Gem's side too. You know.
Oh, hey, I mean, you earned it, bud. There's nothing fishy. You beat everybody out. Come up and be lieutenant.
Yeah, I beat everybody out, including me.
I don't remember you applying, Timus.
You know what I'm talking about. Look, my teeth are never going to be the same.
Oh, you'll be all right.
Kind of gives him a shove forward as you move up the steps into the precinct. I'll fill out the paperwork here if you want to take him down. I know it's been a while since you've been down there. It's two lefts and a right.
I mean... It hasn't been that long. I got it. Two lefts and a right, of course.
You take Drancor down the steps, follow back down, leading towards the cells of this precinct as Glory Gem moves over to the main desk and books him.
All right, Timus. What do you want? Cell 3, cell 4, your favorite in cell 5? What you feeling today?
The air in 5 is very nice. Like, there's this little draft that comes down from outside the mountain. And it makes you feel like you're outside living the free breeze, living on the free breeze.
I mean, yeah, if that's what you want, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I'll hook you up with number 5.
I won't forget this, Firebeard.
I mean, I think you probably will, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, until the next time, I won't forget this. You treat me right. Not like that Glory Gem. He's all hands.
Well, I mean... In your defense, you were looking the wrong way. You could have seen him coming if you'd had your head swiveled around.
Well, I guess. Gotta get my head on a swivel. You enter the jail cell area. Door swings open. Big, heavy door swings open. There are 8 cells in here. And you begin moving towards cell 5. And out of the corner of your eye, you see in cell 3... what looks like a dragonborn seated on a stump in the middle of this lush rainforest. You look to it because it's something that shouldn't be there. And as you look, it's gone. There is a dragonborn there. Looks like he's had a few too many. And he's kind of just leaned up against the bars.
Hey, Timus, did you see that?
See what?
In cell 3.
That drunkard? Yeah, I saw him last night. Maybe he's just sleeping it off?
You saw him last night? Oh, no, I was referring... Well, okay, it's going to sound really weird.
Huh?
I swear there was a jungle in there a minute ago.
A jungle? Under the mountain? You've lost
it! Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what to tell you, but guess my eyes are playing tricks on me.
Desk life has got you soft there, Firebeard. All right, do you want me to tuck me in, or are you going to do it?
I mean, you know the drill by now. I'll open the door. You can do the rest.
All right. Nighty-night, sweet prince.
Good night, Timus. We'll see you again real soon, I'm sure.
You walk back out, and you take another glance at the dragonborn who's passed out. You hang there for a moment, and then carry on back upstairs to make sure that the paperwork is all filled out. And camera pans back down, and... we begin to see that jungle forming before our eyes in a vision, and the camera begins moving quickly, and the sound of footsteps are crunching through this leaves, and we see the back of this dragonborn who's got he's looking quickly over his shoulder.
This dragonborn is running through the jungle. It's hot, it's muggy, and he's being chased. What's his next move?
Oh God. Kind of stops and he's trying to catch his breath quickly before he moves. He's looking around for any sign of where he is. He's gotten lost. Like, the path below him is no longer a path. It's just so overgrown. And he pulls his bow and arrow and he notches one just in case something sneaks up on him. And he looks up and there's just like a crack through the canopy where he sees a little bit of movement and recognizes like a carving in part of a tree, which you see just a quick glimpse, reminds him of where he is, and he books off towards the west.
He continues running through the jungle, and as he's going, he's been hearing the sound of leaves getting pushed out of the way and branches breaking behind him and to the side of him and above him, and he knows he needs to keep moving, and he comes to a fork in the road. There's a path that splits off to the left and a path that splits off to the right, and he hears the noise behind him getting a little bit louder.
He doesn't hesitate. He knows that this path leads to the right, leads back to his camp. He heads to the right.
As he makes a break to the right, he feels an amount of wind kind of go past the right side of his face and the kind of back of his neck. And just out of the corner of his eye, he sees this demonic looking monkey flying just past him, coming out of the bush to his right.
Fucking Wongo. Fuck. He's found me. He looses an arrow towards it.
And Wongo lets out a cry, and you're not sure if you hit him with the arrow or if he is just offended that you shot at him or what the deal is, but he lets out this cry, and you know that you need to get back to camp, because otherwise, Wongo will get you.
Fuck. Wongo's not going to get me. Not today. Not Bort. Not Bort. Bort's not going to get got by Wongo. He throws his bow back on his back, and with even more vigor, he pushes through all of the pain that's setting into his muscles, and he rushes as fast as he can towards his camp.
You come stumbling out of the jungle, out of breath. You land on your hands and knees, and you see, well, for a lack of a better term, you're tour guide in this jungle. You see Scyther up ahead, and he kind of waves you over and says, what's the problem,
Wongo,
Bort?
Wongo, oh, Wongo, there's a Wongo coming. He's gonna get us. We gotta go.
Well, is it a Wongo or is it Wongo? There's only one.
Well, then it's only one. It's the Wongo. Why are we arguing about this?
Remember what it is about Wongo. We've been over this. We've been over all nine.
Yeah.
But it's better to be Wongo's friend than his enemy. What did you do?
What if
to offend Wongo?
Well, I mean, there was this altar, and there was this cup on it, and I was thirsty, so there was a spring beside it, and this, you know, just kind of took a drink from it.
Uh-huh.
And then heard the noise, which gave me a start, and saw him through the trees, and he reaches into his bag and pulls out the cup, and I accidentally took the cup.
Okay. And then, yep, that's gonna be a problem.
And then I maybe winged him with an arrow, maybe.
Okay. Yep. Not great.
That'd be it, though. That'd be it. So I had to drink the cup, put the cup in the bag, and
what kind of treats do you have in your bag? What can we offer him as a peace offering?
I mean, this is the most valuable thing I have right now is this cup. I mean, I got some just basic adventuring gear to stay alive out here.
Okay. Tell you what. Okay. We're going to put the cup down. We're going to leave it here.
Okay.
I'm going to put some of these berries in it because I don't know if he's going to like them or not, but it's a bit of a peace offering from us to him. And we are going to back away and we're going to head back to the camp, and hopefully we're going to leave it there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. He puts the cup down and watches Scyther put the berries in, and he slowly starts backing away further up the path.
As the two of them back away, you see Wongo burst forth from the jungle that Bort had just come out of, and he stops and lets out a screech. He puts his head up to the heavens, and he lets out this piercing screech,
And as he looks back down, he sees the cup on the ground. And his demeanor kind of changes immediately. And he kind of walks forward. And he brings his tail around from the side and he picks up the cup with his tail. And he kind of looks towards the two of them. He doesn't nod, but you know there's an understanding between the two of you now. Don't take his shit, and he won't try to kill you.
So I probably shouldn't take his shit anymore.
I mean, yeah, if you find some... Okay, here's the thing about Chult. And I know we've been over this, yeah. But if you find random bits of treasure, best to not touch it.
Right, yep. Okay.
No, so just, you know, we're just going to leave that one. And, okay, we're going to head back to camp. We're going to take it easy from here on in. No more pissing off any of the nine.
No more pissing off any of the nine. Hey, what if I pissed off one more of the nine?
I'm gonna need some more information, and I hope it's not one of the bad ones.
So Thea is going to... Thea does not notice this wispiness.
Not really. It's kind of coming from behind you, right? So, I mean, roll perception.
20.
You would notice that there is an aura every time you're casting something, and every time you, like, when you saw Yembol cast, you didn't see Tulgir cast. But there is an aura. You can't explain necessarily where it's coming from.
I assume that I would feel that there's a shift, there's something happening when we're casting. But again, I feel the exact same way when you are face-to-face with a gross zombie made of zombie monster.
Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Sure.
So I'm going to Eldritch Blast. 19?
Yep.
A 12.
Nope. Oh, sorry, well, you're fighting the zombie thing, right?
Yeah.
12 hits, yeah. Sorry,
oh,
I was going off
and a 13.
Off the, yep.
Damn!
Sorry, I was going off the dragon still.
Fuck yeah, boy. Okay, that's 3d10. That's 18 force damage.
Force. 18?
18 force damage. Thea, like, puts her hand out all cool, like, and then, like, you know, from nowhere, a liquid fire blade forms in her hand. And it is long and scary looking.
You hear from down the hall, Flamekins yell, "You could do that the whole time?"
Probably. And it's blue and it really brightens up the place. Lots
sure.
of light comes off of this thing.
Yeah.
And Thea swings at this zombie gross thing.
Swing.
Actually, I have to like 12. No, plus 10. 14.
14 hits.
11 fire damage.
So Yembol and
The clot.
Remain.
Think the clot would retaliate against my, you know, blasting and lighting it on fire.
Great. We're going to see if it recharges. You roll me a d6.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's a 1.
Doesn't recharge. But it does get to slam it to... Actually, it's going to try to move past Yembol. It doesn't move past, like there are parts of it, and it's moving around Yembol. So,
but not very far because it's rough terrain.
Mm-hmm. So slippery.
How far were you back?
I was very close to it.
Okay, then also
I moved maybe 30 feet.
Yeah, you're
because my movement.
Also, make a Constitution saving throw then, as it comes in to slam attack you and Yembol.
I'd prefer
well,
not
that was
to.
A,
thank
that
you.
Was a crit fail. So
yeah.
16.
Yembol, you save Thea. You're going to take 9 poison damage. And then slam attacks. First one on Thea is going to be a 27. Second one on Yembol is going to be an 11. 18 bludgeoning damage for Thea. And then Yembol, you are up.
So the dragon is like at street level, right? So we are obviously like... We are no longer in the sewer,
yeah.
Or we are in the sewer, but things are
yeah, things are cascading in. So you could climb up and out. You're engaged with this zombie thing happening mm-hmm. around you, but yes.
But I can see the sky.
Yes, in all
Dope.
Of its
Remember,
terrifying
there's
glory.
There's no moon.
Yeah, it's very
so
dark.
Everybody knows.
It's very dark.
I guess yeah. The zombie is like on me, so it doesn't really make sense for me to attack the dragon. So I'd like the zombie. Zomboid. What did you call it? Clot.
Zombie clot.
I would like them to make a dex save.
12.
Great. I'm going to call lightning. Bzz. So a big cloud appears in the sky, and lightning's going to zap them up real good. And it's going to keep zapping them on subsequent turns, unless I lose my concentration. But for now, they'll take 33 lightning damage.
Yeah, well.
Parts of this thing are falling off, and like the flesh is, you can smell the
smell so bad.
It was so bad to begin with, but now it's like burning so bad.
Yeah.
Like bad hair, burning smell, flesh. It's so bad. But it takes a huge amount of damage, and like parts of it are falling to the ground and like trying to reach up and claw themselves back towards this main mass.
What if we get some dragon nonsense out of the way?
Yeah. We can rest a smile.
I know, I don't like that.
That smirk.
It's always going to be bad.
It's
at least
true.
This way, yep. We can just all react back.
So you attack the tail. So it pulls its tail out, Tolgir, and turns, and you see the maw of this dragon open, and this black cloud vapor begin to pour out and fills in a 60-foot cone the entire causeway of all of you. So please make a constitution saving throw. Gotta beat an 18.
15?
25.
9.
Google is my friend for 16d6.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. Oh, that's not that bad.
So Yembol and Thea are going to take 53 necrotic damage. From its rotting breath. Tulgir, you're going to take half of that. So what's that, 26?
Sounds delightful.
I guess when I take damage, that stops my concentration, doesn't it?
You can roll to save against it.
You have to beat half the amount of damage, I think.
You'd have to beat a 26 on your con save using your
Can you do that?
Using my con save bonus?
You would have to do that as well for your fairy fire.
Impossible.
In all
I only
honesty,
have a plus three.
I think that fairy fire is gone.
Okay.
I've cast a different spell.
Oh, okay.
Then so...
Yeah, then it dissipates, and any lingering spells are gone. It roars and shakes the walls. As the roar dies down, you hear quick footsteps up on the street. Like small, quick footsteps. And you hear a blade cut hard into the dragon. And the head droops for a second and then falls down into the cavern. And dropping down, carrying a double-bladed, glowing sword with like flame coming from her nostrils, is this copper and bronze and gold and platinum dragonborn, who's quickly followed down by a halfling and half-orc.
What the fuck?
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 98, starring Amy Moore as Thea Amastasia, Carla Maxted as Yenbol Nuri, Tom Laird as Tulgir Heavyfoot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Stevie, Jacob Madden, Devin Michaels, Christian Brown, Aaron Stevens, Lou Lahan, and Charlie Warley. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when we reach 100 patrons, we'll release an exclusive Grancis and Flamekins bonus episode, Escaping the Abyss. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, friends. The Sprouting is a podcast that I want to tell you about and you should go listen to. It's an eldritch horror of an actual play podcast set in an apocalyptic future where eldritch plants have taken over. Magical bargains twist the fate of reality, and each survivor struggles to trust their own senses as they try to see their goals through to their ends. The show uses the rules from Call of Cthulhu to heighten the drama of the story and leave the fate of the story at the whims of the dice, and they've created a completely homebrew world. A plant apocalypse where the senses can't be trusted, and instead the characters must learn to trust one another. The show is completely scored by beautiful music from their in-house editor, which heightens each dramatic moment throughout the show. I've got a little promo for you here, but go check out The Sprouting. I've listened to it, you need to listen to it, and you should start with the prequel episode when you go over there. Search for The Sprouting anywhere you listen to podcasts.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
Yamel calls upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.